The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, live from Bar Canada at the D. Jay Rude still to come this hour. They're not booing. They're saying rude in the background when it comes. Jason Weingarten from Under Cloud of Smoke. Josh Towers on Major League Baseball. Let's bring in one of our favorites. He is kind enough to join us each and every Wednesday. A VSiN host and a man who played the game. What was that old Howard Cosell? Howard Cosell biography or book that he read was like, I never played the game. This guy played the game. Played it at the highest level for multiple teams in the NFL. Number one pick for the Falcons back in 1991, was it? We'll get the word on that. Maybe it wasn't 91. Mike Pritchard, everybody. National champion at Colorado. How you doing, Pritch?
I'm great. I'm great. Good morning. Yeah, way back then, 1991.
All right. So Colorado, this I'm interested to hear what you have to say here, because obviously they win their first three games. Obviously, the Colorado State game was nip and tuck with the Travis Hunter injury. Then they get blasted by Oregon. But against USC, while it looked like it was going to be much of the same in the first half, they ended up making it very respectable. They end up losing by 7, 48-41. And now, as I said the other day, they get to pick on teams their own size here moving forward here. At least this week they do. How do you feel about them after? How do you feel about the Buffaloes after that performance against the Trojans?
You know, I felt great about the Buffaloes all season long, really, Gil and Kelly. I mean, it's been as expected, I think. You know, I don't think anybody out there thought that CU is going to beat Oregon or beat SC. Now, covering a number is different, right? And so at home in Boulder, maybe that was a better chance for the Buffs to cover that number, that big number against the Trojans. On the road against Oregon, no. I mean, think about it this way, too. Like, established programs. Like, when you think about TCU, yeah, they went to the playoff. I don't play for a national championship. But they haven't really established themselves as a blue blood, if you will, a team that's going to routinely play for a championship. Same thing with Nebraska, you know, rebuilding. Same thing with CSU, kind of trying to get their feet wet and trying to find out what kind of program they can be. But established programs like Oregon and SC, I mean, that was really the true test of a rebuilding effort for Deion Sanders and Coach Prime and his staff. So now they're facing a team on the road as a favorite, which is interesting. Similar circumstances to trying to get the program in the right direction, making sure that they can recruit and be consistent. So I think it's an even matchup. I like how you phrased it. You know, teams that are probably in their wheelhouse. And so a competitive roster, a more confident roster. I'm feeling pretty good about the Buffs this weekend.
Yeah, at Arizona State this week and then a home game against Stanford before they have a week off. Would you lay the 3.5 at ASU this week?
You know, I'm sitting on over 3 wins. So I'm waiting for that bad boy. Yeah, this could be it. I'm waiting for that bad boy. And, you know, superstition nature of myself, I'm not going to mess with the game from a betting standpoint that way. Okay. I just want to cash it over.
Okay. Yeah, I think you will. I think that's a pretty safe bet right now. What could go wrong, Pritch? What could go wrong at this point?
Right.
Yeah, get back to us in 3 weeks. Okay. We're like, oh, no.
I know. Thank you very much, Gil, for that.
Yeah, that's right. All right. I'm going to leave this open-ended for you as a former player. What in the first 4 weeks of the NFL season, and you can answer this any way you want. Maybe it's about a specific team. Maybe it's about some macro thing that the layman doesn't notice. But what has struck you in the first 4 weeks of the NFL season where you say to yourself, oh, I didn't see that, or that's something new that we ought to keep an eye out for?
Yeah, you know, I don't know how sexy it is or anything, but quarterback play has not been outstanding, right? Or I don't know if it's been a difference maker. I think Josh Allen has made a difference up in Buffalo, especially when you go up against Miami and what they recently did. You know, Matt Stafford, what he's doing with the Rams and Nacua, you know, that's more coaching, I think. But look at how, you know, so many teams are stumbling out the blocks right now, like Cincinnati. I mean, my goodness, they're not in sync at all offensively. You know, it was supposed to be better in New Orleans with Derek Carr. That's sputtering. Green Bay is sputtering with the new quarterback there and Jordan Love. I know people were excited to see it, but it's sputtering a little bit. Just from a team total standpoint, they all seem low. I mean, Patrick Mahomes, not struggling, but certainly not picking up where he left off, if you will, in terms of the style of play and how he was playing at the end of the year. So it's going to take some time to iron all that out. I think we're in a month to where we'll probably see that marked improvement at that particular position. But for that first 4 weeks, you know, it was underwhelming. I mean, it has been. I mean, the disappointing nature of Aaron Rodgers, too, and that quarterback. So we never really see that materialize, right? And some of these other younger quarterbacks that we're excited about. C.J. Stroud is incredible, but we'll see what happens when teams kind of catch up to those players. But I think all in all, that's been a surprising element of the National Football League, or at least to the start of this season.
Can you draw a direct line from a lot of these teams not playing their guys in the preseason to this? Is that part of it?
You know, I was trying to do that, but then how do you explain Pittsburgh, right? Pittsburgh and that offense looked great in the preseason.
Right.
But they're sputtering. One of the worst offenses in the league right now. You know, you think about Jimmy Garoppolo and the Raiders. That's supposed to be better because you get rid of Derek Carr for somebody you're familiar with if he's Josh McDaniels, but you're sputtering. You're not cohesive. You're not even in sync. So it's been surprising. Like the Dobbs out there with the Cardinals. I mean, that's a more competitive situation only because of how I believe the entire league has really come down a few notches.
Let's talk about, you brought up Burrow and the Bengals. Let's talk about that for a second. So, I mean, no one thinks that Joe Burrow is anything but among the elite quarterbacks in the National Football League. Yet he has this injury in the preseason, which we all saw from afar, right, by that viewpoint, a calf injury. And, you know, Ja'Marr Chase is like, please don't play, please don't play. And he is, in fact, playing, and he's not playing well. He's got no mobility. They're always in shotgun. He can't get out of it once there's any pressure. And right. So he is a shell of what we know him to be. Everything, obviously, T. Higgins is out now, too. But everything seems out of sync. And I guess what I'm asking is, is it possible that a team can just, based on one injury, it throws off everything and that they can't actually ever recapture it? Is that a thing?
I believe so. I believe so. I mean, look at the backup quarterback situation, right? It's Jake Browning, I think, is a backup quarterback. So when you don't have a Joe Burrow type of quarterback, and who really does, you know, you're looking at the backup situation. Championship teams or teams that are poised to make a run, they have a capable backup, right? And somebody that, okay, the starter is, whether it's a vet day or not, the starter's not participating. So can we oil up our offense? Can we still get a good look? Can we still get the work in that we need to get in? And, you know, that's a big drop off when you think about going from Joe Burrow to Jake Downing in terms of, okay, what are we going to do to prepare this offense? And you're seeing that from an offensive line standpoint, no running game, selective and play calling too, because like you said, primarily in shotgun. So there's not a lot of options out there other than can Joe Burrow get healthy? And when he is healthy, can we get this revved up again? And, you know, that to me is not how you want to go into a season as a Super Bowl front runner. I mean, I think a lot of people had the opinion that roster and experience level of that team had them poised to make a run at that Super Bowl this year.
I've asked you some form of this question before. I might even ask you last week, but I think it's great to hear from someone who's been on the inside of this, because we as fans and as bettors, we watch these teams perform poorly early in the season, like the Bears, like the Panthers, right, like the Giants. And we watch, and yes, we're betting into, you know, first coach fired markets. We're doing that. But we're also speculating on, man, this team is like, the coach is going to lose them, or their season could be done if they lose this game this week, because they're already going to be 1-4 or whatever it is, 0-5 in some cases, and it's just going to fall off a cliff. What, as you look at these teams, and just with your sort of Malcolm Gladwell blink instinct on this, which is the team that you observe and you're like, oh, boy, they are in the worst shape of all of them?
Yeah, you look for the most dysfunctional situation, I think. You know, having been a part of that in Atlanta, like, we had a good roster, just underachieving and dysfunctional, and it led to Coach Glanville getting fired. And, you know, if you think about Ken Harrock and Jerry Glanville not on the same page, then you needed some kind of similar mind thinking, if you will, in terms of the front office and the coaching staff. So I know a lot of rumors are out there about Matt Eberflus. Now, I'm careful about that because I know Ryan Poles, and they have the same agent, right? It's like Cliff Kingsbury and Klein out there in Arizona. They kind of attached at the hip a little bit. So I know there's some rumblings that he could be the first coach fired, but it is dysfunctional right now. So we'll see about that. But yeah, I think I would gravitate towards the most dysfunction or disconnected teams. And you can get that information. So there's some great insiders out there. Just follow them on Twitter for each and every team in that situation. And you can gauge that level of dysfunction out there for these teams.
What's your instinct tell us, though? Who is it?
I mean, if Staley keeps underperforming, then they got a big win against the Raiders, but that might have saved them. I mean, Rivera not going for two. What's going on with that? There's a lot of candidates right now. But Eberflus, you know, that rumbling is getting louder and louder. It's just the relationship that he has with the GM makes it difficult for me to kind of pull the trigger on that.
It wasn't trying to get you to focus in on a coach, just the team in general. It's fascinating.
Yeah. There's a lot of dysfunction.
Yeah, that's for sure. It's going around. Mike, always a pleasure. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you guys. Have a great week.
Mike Pritchard at MI Pritchard on the old Twitter machine. Jason Weingarten's under a cloud of smoke. He's got baseball thoughts. That's on the other side. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers game right here, Bar Canada at the D. Don't forget, basketball season ready to tip off as well. And the VSiN experts have been hard at work tracking the latest player moves to help you bet smarter. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get our all-new NBA betting guide featuring up-to-date previews on all 30 teams, futures and year-long player props, best bets on player awards like Rookie of the Year, live betting strategies, plus strategy and advice on building your own NBA betting model from senior NBA analyst Jonathan Von Tobel. Like that. Give yourself an edge this season. Get the VSiN NBA betting guide by becoming a VSiN Pro subscriber today at VSiN.com/subscribe. And our own Kelly Bidlin did work on that. Yes?
Yeah, a couple articles in there from me. The live betting strategies. That one is mine. And then some alternate season win totals. I wrote a piece on that as well. And I know you were looking forward to this, so I just want to let you know the 80-minute Hardwood Handicappers pod that we recorded last night on the Northwest Division is up and posted, so you can get that now. There might be some other conversation in there, too, but yes.
80 minutes on the Northwest Division? That's outstanding.
Probably like 40 minutes on that, 40 minutes on other stuff.
Your alternate season win totals, though, that is, because we were just talking about it with the NFL and how the biggest takeaway from all this ought to be, hey, next year, if you didn't bet them again this year, we can't say it enough. Bet alternate season win totals in the NFL because, again, all you have to do is look at the NFL standings at the end of the year, and you'll see these teams are like standard deviations away from where they're supposed to be. So it's you know, like 17-game schedule. It's nothing for them to be three games off in a 17-game schedule. Well, the NBA's got 82 games. So alternate season win totals are not offered nearly as widely as they are in the NFL, but they ought to be.
There are some books, though, hoping more offer. We'll talk about it after the guide comes out. We'll definitely do a segment on it because I went and checked some numbers from the past, and it is pretty shocking once you start hearing.
Because think about it. If it's three in the NFL on a 17-game schedule, imagine what it is on an 82.
Yeah, I don't even think – I think I said that off the air, but just going back to last year in the NFL, it was 35%. Yeah, 35%. Yeah.
We get tweets at Beating the Book. Xavier 82, Jacob. Any money in my sportsbooks accounts go directly into my active bets. Once they cash, I withdraw them back directly to my dedicated checking account to use for best odds on the board. So very little for the hackers to steal from me. Oh, that's a strategy.
Yeah, but you sound like a person that can live in states that can do that.
Yes.
Here in Nevada, you can't do that. So it's a much bigger issue. For you to get money out of your account, you have to go literally to the book and take cash out of the account.
So there's that.
Yeah.
Chris Heath, it's 107.7 the Bone, Gill.
We just keep making up new ones.
We're just going off.
This all started with 103.1 The Buzz in South Florida.
And Bruce Dobigan says about our thing about reading promos. He says, legendary Canadian liner moment in the 1960s. Lorne Greene, yes, that guy, asked to do a Canadian broadcast company, CBC Liner Live, came up with, "You're listening to the Canadian Broad Coping Castration." That's what he gets. Instead of Broadcasting Corporation. Anyway, we'll read more tweets here coming up. Oh, one more. Mike Zhang. "Never ever thought I'd hear Tony mentioned on a national sports betting show. I had to put on Feels Good during the commercial break." You go do that.
I always bring up to you that pop star movie with Andy Samberg. One of the funniest parts in it is, what's his name from Ladies Man? I'm blanking on his name now. But he was like, yeah, I used to be part of Tony.
Tim Meadows.
It was Tony. Mine was with a question mark, so we had creative differences.
Jason Weingarten knows all about Tony. He comes to us from under a cloud of smoke at Spreadopedia, enjoying the baseball postseason. How you doing, Jason?
Pretty good. How's it going?
Doing very well. You're just chilling. How'd you do yesterday in baseball? What are some of your pre-flop baseball postseason bets? Let's start there.
Yo, my biggest bet at the moment is the exact matchup, I guess, on Baltimore and the Dodgers. So that hasn't even started yet.
To meet in the World Series. It's not an exact, one doesn't have to beat the other. It's just a matchup.
No, I actually have Dodgers over Baltimore and Baltimore over Dodgers.
Oh,
I have both of them.
What numbers did you get on those?
24 and 18, circa.
24 and 18. I have the Phillies to beat the Astros at 45-1. That's mine.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Definitely possible.
Definitely. It's all possible. Go ahead.
I actually like today better than yesterday because every game today is actually an elimination game, whereas yesterday, you know, it's only the one of first to three potentially.
So, because you and I were texting yesterday, we really do kind of miss the, as cruel as the one-offs were, right? As cruel as the game 163s were, if you will, even though technically it was a postseason game, there was something more epic about them. And these best of threes don't quite have that for obvious reasons, because it's not, you know, winner take all and loser you're donezo. So it's a little bit of a bastardized version of that. But you like today because they're elimination games. Explain that statement.
All four games are elimination games today. The teams that lost yesterday are, you know, back against the wall, and you manage slightly differently when your season's on the line. You know, a team like the Rays, they win like 96 games, 99 games, and they're one game from elimination today.
Why does that make you like them better as a betting vehicle?
I mean, I like it better for watching.
Oh,
you know, the game.
I see.
For betting.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a couple spots that I'm interested in today. I don't think angle wise you necessarily get a better spot on the second game. I do think, you know, we were talking about this last night. How many eliminations do you think we'll see today?
Yeah.
At least two.
I would, like, if you told me it was all four, I wouldn't be shocked. Will Hill said three. He said everything but Tampa, Texas.
Oh, I actually bet on the Rangers today. So,
oh, okay. Your oppo.
If I had to pick one that's on, you know, I don't know. I'm on the Rangers today. I think the Rays kind of disappointed me yesterday. I expected more out of them.
They were terrible. Yeah, they were just the bad news bears yesterday. Okay, is that the only bet you have? You have Texas today. Texas a dog in game two. And as Jason said, that's an elimination. All these are brink of, you know, elimination games for all these teams that lost yesterday. So it's Eovaldi going today for the Rangers against Zach Eflin. We're showing +136 on that. Shop around for the best price. What else did you play today?
I bet all the first innings again. First inning yeses went 2-2 yesterday. Should have been 3-1. That was not an enjoyable Phillies first inning. Getting guys on second and third, no outs, holding the runner on a sack fly. That was not great. Oh. But you did mention one angle, one thing that I do like to look at today that I will look at a little later when I have a chance to dive into props, because I haven't had a chance to do that yet. The pitching outs.
Yeah.
I've been enjoying betting the over-unders on pitching outs so far, and, you know, only through one day. But I tend to think that you're going to see pitchers go slightly deeper. starting pitchers. So, you know, like Zach Wheeler yesterday, he went the 6.2 innings or whatever. So, you know, you got 20 outs out of him. A lot of times you're going to get like 16.5 on these overs. So there's a lot of guys I want to look at to potentially go six innings today, mainly Gallen and Freddie Peralta in the one of the later games. I think that's actually probably my favorite game of the day. Just to watch later on, I think that's going to be
what about a competitive game. Yeah, Zach Gallen against Freddie Peralta. Freddie Peralta is one thing because obviously he's if not the ace of the staff, he's a co-ace of the staff with the Brewers. So they're despite the fact that they're on the brink, they're gonna try to milk him, one would think, as much as possible. But what about in the case of Jose Berrios for the Blue Jays, a Zach Eflin for the Rays, and a Braxton Garrett for the Marlins? The hook will probably be quick, won't it?
Marlins, yes. Marlins have their full bullpen available. Blue Jays, probably a little longer leash. And then Eflin, tough, because who else are you going to put him behind him? I mean, the Rays are a little thin on pitching, just starter-wise. They have a lot of bullpen arms that can come in, but anybody you come in and rush in today is probably a guy you don't have tomorrow.
So Garrett would be the one that would fit the bill the best of the bunch in terms of being the quickest hook. Okay. Anything else futures wise besides those two exactas that you have with Baltimore and the Dodgers?
Mostly just some NFL stuff. How are you feeling on your Puka Nacua bet?
Pretty good, but I mean, C.J. Stroud is the rightful favorite because he's the rightful short shot because he's a quarterback, right? So I feel great about it, right? It's a great number, and my number wasn't as great as some others have it at, but dude, Puka Nacua, like I don't know what the historical comp is to this for a guy to come in and just be this good from the beginning. Anquan Boldin,
not as a fifth rounder.
Anquan Boldin is the one that I remember like the clearest, where it's like, who's this guy right out of nowhere?
He was like the first or second pick in the second round.
Too. Right.
He was
right.
And that's the thing. His comp is Boldin, but Stroud's comp is best quarterback rookie numbers, ever. So it's tough. You're looking like one or two now.
Do you have a Nacua bet as well? You have Stroud?
What?
You have Stroud?
I took Stroud at 15 after the first or second week. It was too high.
Yeah, that's a nice one to have there, for sure.
But I do like yours. I mean, anytime you have a receiver just getting that many, many catches every game.
And honestly, I feel like McVay was almost sabotaging him a couple of these weeks so that his boy Cooper Kupp would be okay when he came back. So we'll see how that works out with Kupp now eligible to come back. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Pretty excited for some baseball today.
Yes, indeed.
Some games.
Cannot wait. Jay Rood on the other side.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't forget, on DraftKings Sportsbook this season, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the app and use the promo code VEGAS when you sign up. That's VEGAS. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Skill Alexander, Kelly Bidlin hanging out at Bar Canada at the D. Still to come, we'll talk to Josh Towers about the quadruple header in Major League Baseball today. But a chance to catch up with one of my favorite people in the biz, formerly the vice president of race and sports over at MGM. I don't even know if he likes that intro, to be quite honest with you. I probably should have cleared that in advance. Now doing all kinds of other things, it's Jay Rood in the house. It's not booing. They're saying rude in the background.
Yeah. Yes, they're chanting.
Yes, they're chanting.
They're contemplating the wave here.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Yeah. So, yeah, MGM days are, long behind me.
Yeah.
Lots happened since then.
Let me just start there. Do you miss things about it and not miss other things about it? I guess that's fair.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, It was fun times being a bookie in this town for, 27 years, whatever it was.
27, I believe.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously I didn't run it the whole time, but, I was under Robert Walker for a while and, a bunch of guys I learned a lot from over the years. And, going in the office, the camaraderie, busting everyone's chops.
Have you seen Stoneback recently, by the way?
I have.
He grew his hair
looks,
long.
Yeah, he looks like he's ready to go on tour with Metallica or something.
He would say Grateful Dead.
Yes. Grateful Dead. Yeah, he's doing good. He had a great summer last summer when he retired, touring
he did
touring Europe following the Stones.
He's a little bit back with them now, I think, right?
He went back to MGM.
Yeah, yeah, a little bit.
Doing a little part-time trading for him, yeah.
So what have you, since then, what has your journey looked like?
Yeah, my journey, I left MGM 2019. I took advantage of the early, you know, sort of retirement package that they were offering at the time. It was also in the time that they were transitioning to BetMGM, the European Entain company, and, you know, just... thought it was the right time to leave there,
yeah,
and find something new. And David Wang started up BetWorks, you know, a little startup company that was just, you know, perfectly timed for PASPA's repeal and, you know, people searching for sportsbook solutions. And went and headed up the trading for that. And we did that for a while. We helped launch the Score, which, mm-hmm, you know, was a fairy tale story. When we started with them, they were like a $50 million valuation company, and they eventually sold for $2
billion. Wow.
And we were also with Elite Gaming out of Iowa. They were one of ours. And so, you know, it was a fun learning experience. Obviously, the startup world is different. You know, I mean, yeah, at one point I was in charge of HR. And if anyone knows me, that's a, that's a dangerous thing to do. So
when I think of you, I think, this guy should head HR.
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff that was, you know, I was letting slide.
Yeah.
But so we did that. Obviously, we got acquired by Bally's, worked for Bally's for a while. And then, you know, this last January, Bally's decided to go a different direction, outsource their sports book, I guess you could call it. So I found myself sitting at home and been discussing, having talks with a company called Caribbean Cage.
Yes.
They're a route company in the Caribbean. They're in like six or seven island nations. They're in Guyana. And they run a great successful slot route. And they also own a bunch of licenses for sports betting, and they've been trying to get up and running, but, you know, obviously COVID hit, put a little kibosh on it, other restrictions. But now, you know, we're very focused. We hope to be launched in the islands, you know, in the spring. You know, we're sourcing a partner to help us with the technology. They're also partners with FanDuel in Puerto Rico. So we're going to be the partner with FanDuel in Puerto Rico. And that's, you know, hoping to be launched by the beginning of the year. So, you know, doing a lot of, so wearing a lot of hats with them, you know, as the senior VP of their sports betting office.
You're plugging along. Is there a macro, like, if you, like, sort of had to assess the industry since PASPA was ruled unconstitutional, do you see anything, any development that the rest of us don't see on the horizon? Do you expect more of the same? Is there a statement to even be made about how things are evolving?
Yeah, I mean, I think anyone and everyone would probably tell you that it's evolved much, much quicker than most would have thought. The rollout to the number of states happened in a much more rapid pace than I think a lot of people thought it was going to be. You know, I think a lot of people had 3 and 5 year plans for getting to the number of states that we're at right now. And it literally, we got to there like in, 2 years. Hmm. And I think, you know, I've been able to see it. We've launched in a bunch of states. You know, at MGM, we launched, you know, the first two, Mississippi and New Jersey. And, you know, you see the maturity of the market coming to play. You know, as soon as you launch, everyone's like, oh, they go crazy, parlay, parlay, parlay. Your hold goes up to like 14, 16% for, you know, 4, 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Then it starts to pull down, and everyone's like, oh, the sky's falling. What's happening here? And it's like, no, this is sports betting now. It's not the, you know, the mini lottery that you had where everyone was just pounding away on parlays.
Right.
Now people are starting to get a little more educated. They're betting more straight bets. You know, hopefully they're following Gil Alexander's tennis picks and, you know, cashing tickets.
Well, this year wasn't quite as good as the previous two, but yes.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. You're also a football fan. You bet sometimes as well.
Actually, I've taken this year off.
Oh, have you really?
Yeah. Well, as soon as I got, you know, as soon as I sort of, you know, knew I was going to be out of it, because I'm just not following as much.
Oh,
been concentrating on some family stuff.
All right.
You know, I'm just not as immersed in it. So, sort of stepped back and, you know, took a little time off. I'm in some of the contests and stuff, but
yeah,
just not betting on a daily basis. I mean, I'm not good. There's a reason I was on that side of the counter collecting a check.
Are you in Survivor?
Yeah. I am not in Survivor this year, no.
Okay.
I'm just in the last man standing at station.
Oh, okay. There you go. I want to go back to you had some stories, and I don't think we've told them here, and if we have ever, in a while. What was the Mike Tyson story?
Bite Night?
bite night.
Oh, I mean, that was an adventureful evening for sure. I was, you know, night supervisor at the MGM. It was the old, original configuration when we had sportsbook on one side and race on the other. Mm-hmm. And we had the bars. Thankfully, that night we had the big bars, you know, you used to have in front of all the cages and everything. And the action was, you know, it was insane. Obviously, any of Tyson's fights were just back in the 90s were crazy. It was a lot of fun. The only thing that was rough on the crew was we always had a big fight night the night before the Super Bowl, which was brutal because it just turned into a 48-hour bet fest.
They did schedule it that way, right?
Yeah. And one of the worst was when Frankie the Surgeon Randall beat Chavez the night before as a 10-to-1 dog.
Frankie the Surgeon Randall.
Yes. Yeah, so every ticket that anyone bet, I think over, God, he was 10-to-1. So anything over $500 basically was CTR entry. You know, it was just paperwork in the day before computers, you know, so everyone was just writing stuff out. It was just a brutal night. But bite night, back to that, it was crazy. You know, like when champagne bottles were popping or whatever, you know, the story was, the crowd was rushing and everything was going nuts. And, we had a ton of cash and zero security guards. Like you have more security here for this show than we did that night with about $10 million.
Keep pumping up our security today.
$10 million behind the counter, you know, and there was like four of us.
Yeah.
And so we literally, you know, when things started getting crazy, I was like, lock up. Everyone locked up and we like army crawled to the back room and hunkered down in the back room.
So Tyson bites Holyfield's ear.
Yeah.
And what do you mean like lock up? What do you mean at that point?
Well, the casino, you know, everything went nuts in the casino after that. You know, obviously the result happened, happened in the arena. You know, Holyfield was awarded the default victory.
Right.
And, you know, everyone was coming back in the casino and that's when everything went haywire. And, you know, it just was, people were just rushing by us in the casino going out to the pool area.
Because the fight was on property is what you're saying. It was here in town.
Yeah. Here in town. At MGM.
Yeah.
And it was just a chaotic night after the fight.
Wait, why did you end up on the floor like military style getting out of there?
Because everything was chaotic, running around. It was like rioting, right, inside the casino. They were flipping tables. They were doing all kinds of stuff.
Oh, my. So you thought people were going to jump over the counter and...
Yeah. So we locked everything up, got in the back, and then, you know, that was, you know, obviously...
At which property was this?
MGM.
That is wild.
And then my wife called me and she goes, you all right? And I go, yeah, how do you know anything's going on? She goes, it's on CNN. Everything's crazy. And I was just like, oh, okay, yeah.
So tables being flipped that night in the casino and it, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it was nuts. And then, you know, obviously everyone was upset because majority of the people bet Tyson.
Sure.
No
alcohol involved at all.
Well, there may have been, you know, a little bit of that.
I'm kidding.
Yeah. It was. Yeah. You know, it was a pretty bad scene. You know, I mean, we had a few of those. Wisconsin lights going out night. That was an ugly scene.
Yeah.
Basically, I was the night guy there, and I just. My casino VP, Debbie Nutt, and she said, just let them all drink for free till midnight.
The lights in the stadium go out before the 55-minute mark of the game.
Yeah, which I don't even, I mean, I think some places are not, you know, I got rid of that rule when we were at BetWorks and stuff. Yeah, just, it's goofy. I mean, you don't handicap a game to go 55 minutes.
Jay Root, everybody. Great seeing you, man.
Good seeing you.
Let's do it more often.
Yes.
The great
Jay. Let's go get a salad.
Let's go get a salad. That's right. Josh Towers next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand for VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up today for only $19 for your first month at VSiN.com/subscribe. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Mike Zhang is going to go ride Zach Gallen over 4.5 Ks today. That's his prop bet. Chris Sells, Gil, looking at the next several weeks of Survivor. Week 7 is looking to be absolutely brutal. I noticed that myself. And I think, Kelly, that I'm going to have to play the Commanders tomorrow night. I think it's the Commodes.
Well, now that line, man, what crazy line movement on that game. Got bet all the way up to 7, and now it's way back down.
Well, like 7's too many. Joe Nigro, thanks, Gil. I'm trying to watch the playoffs, but find myself evaluating dance moves and singing components of the Jardians and Sky Rizzy ads. It's all good because BK says I rule. I was talking about Sky, a very deep dive into the Sky Rizzy and Jardians commercials yesterday. David Shalafour, I think Kelly's college guessing lines is another victim of the hackers. No, it's not a victim. He's still doing this.
I don't know what that means.
Buddhist man. Oh, the gambling conundrum. Rooting to win a first head coach fired with a Chicago loss or rooting to cash Carolina last winless team with a Bears win. Buddhist man is on both of those with me. And then there's Survivor. So the conundrum tomorrow night is I think I have to play Commanders and Survivor, which would perhaps mean an Eberflus firing. And we'll just wait to cash the Carolina winless in the subsequent week. I think that's the way to play it. And the thing with the Commanders, could I be done by Friday morning? Absolutely, I could be done. But I'm so Chalky McChalkerson on the entries that made it through. Like, I played Washington on the ones that already got knocked out. So literally, I'm playing Washington twice in 5 weeks. Good God.
God bless you.
Yeah.
A couple of quick NFL headlines here before we get to Josh Towers, who was waiting on the phone. Randy Gregory has been released by the Broncos. You may remember he just signed there in spring of 2022, a 5-year, $70 million contract. So they are letting him go. The Broncos are, and then this one.
He made a grip for nothing.
Yeah, he did. Actually, I think I have the exacts on that. $27.5 million for 341 snaps. How about that?
Oh, my God.
And then the Patriots Chargers. This is a bizarre story. You might remember one of the Chargers' prized acquisitions was cornerback J.C. Jackson away from the Patriots. He was a healthy scratch. What was it, a week ago or 2 weeks ago? He has been traded back to the Patriots. And they are taking basically reworking the money on the deal. The deal will remain the same number of years, but they're reworking the money figures that are attached to it.
Well, I guess that's a reaction to losing Christian Gonzalez.
Yes, who is out for the season. That did come down this morning.
They're kind of desperate. The Patriots are. Wow, interesting. All right, Josh Towers, ladies and gentlemen. He actually played the game as well. Played for the Blue Jays, played for the Orioles, played for the Yankees. We're thrilled to have him back on the show. How you doing, Josh?
Gilly, what's up, buddy? How are you?
How you doing, man? Great to talk to you. You know my friend Kelly Bidlin, don't you?
I sure do.
I sure do. I sure do, he says. All right, Josh. You are locked in to baseball and the baseball postseason. First of all, what was your reaction from yesterday? What was your one big takeaway?
None, to be honest with you. I guess Tampa Bay making errors is kind of one thing that threw me off. That team doesn't really do that too often. That was about the extent of it. I mean, I'm rooting for Toronto, but they have had the worst team at bats all season. And this is kind of their MO. Their starting pitchers and their bullpen dominates and only gives up 3 and they can't do anything about it. So everything else played out. I mean, I had the Diamondbacks. I just thought it was a good spot for them. I love the fact that they kept their rotation in order. And so they just said, listen, go out and do your thing and we'll work around it. I thought it was a beautiful thing. And then, of course, the Phillies is expected. And not because of the Phillies, but if you watch baseball the last week, the Marlins couldn't have done more things wrong for 7 of the 9 innings. And then just got lucky the last 2 innings and scored to win games. Yeah. And it's just not a sustainable way to play.
Yeah. By the way, the Diamondbacks thing is interesting because we were texting around a bunch of us on Saturday. We're like, wow, why are the Diamondbacks pitching Merrill Kelly when the Reds are already getting blasted by 8 runs? You know you're in the postseason at that point, barring a miracle Reds comeback. But they decided we're just going to keep going with it and we'll go Gallen game 2, Kelly game 3. So you like that. Yeah. What do you like?
They're in a great spot.
Yeah, they're in a great spot. What do you like today? What have you bet?
Well, I'm just looking at some of the stuff. I like, if you guys look, so this is important for us who can bet props. there's only two starting pitchers I think went past like five innings or five and a third. I mean, every bet seemed to be five and two thirds, but Montgomery did really well. And then I think it might have been Wheeler. There's only two pitchers out of eight that went past their prop bet. Like, they're going to pull these starting pitchers early regardless every time. And so all of us that keep jumping on over strikeout props or over inning props, it's tough because managers panic. I mean, any elimination game, which we have a whole bunch today, obviously, any elimination game, dudes are going to get pulled a lot quicker. So I would take a peek at where their inning counts are and consider unders on some of those, depending on where they are. I looked at the Nathan Eovaldi one. You know, Nathan never did a rehab start. That's why he's been pitching horribly in the big leagues the last few weeks. They don't even have him going five innings on a prop bet. So I might stay away from him, but I was hoping they put him at five and a third or five and two thirds. So if you find that something, I don't think he gets there.
That is that's on Nathan Eovaldi, who's pitching for the Rangers here in the first game, 12:08 Pacific, 3:08 p.m. Eastern on ABC. Potential elimination game for the Tampa Bay Rays. Texas will throw Eovaldi out there against Eflin. Any other things for later in the day that you think you like, maybe a side in one of these games?
Yeah, I just think the Phillies are going to go ahead and win tonight. I like that. I think Zach Gallen and the Diamondbacks win tonight as well. I'm hoping that Berrios steps up. I know Sonny Gray's been really good. I just hope that the Blue Jays in elimination kind of step up. And I think Tampa Bay wins this game. I just, you know, once Eovaldi runs into trouble, you know, what are they going to do? So, I mean, that's kind of where I'm at in those plays. And then again, as the games come about, I'll look at the prop bets a little bit deeper. But again, that's the one thing I can't handle most, man. If you guys find high inning totals on these starting pitchers, bet the unders.
That's the angle for today. You would, in terms of your sides, though, you were right in line with what Will Hill said. Tampa Bay, and then perhaps the three teams to close it out in the other three after that. What about down the What about down the road here, AL pennant, NL pennant, and even the World Series? Like right now, if I just say to you, because this is the most simple of all questions, is what your non-betting friends will ask you. Your casual sports fans, hey, who's going to be in the World Series? Who do you think will be in the Fall Classic this year?
Yeah, it's messed up. Like, once I broke it down with Scott Seidenberg the other day, it ended up being Atlanta and Houston, ironically, just kind of looking at all the series. Not because I would have picked Atlanta, but not that I would have picked Houston. It's just how it broke down. I think Baltimore in the next series gets beat pretty quick. I don't think it's going to be a close series. I just don't think that they're not a team that needed time off, and they're very young. So I think Baltimore kind of gets 86. The adrenaline that Houston's coming in with, I think that's a pretty healthy, you know, combination when they're facing either Minnesota or Toronto. So I think, you know, those two series right there, I think they go that way. Atlanta's just so deep in every aspect. I mean, they remind me of the old Yankee, like, I always said this, Gilly, like, I remember facing the Yankees one day, and Cano and Giambi were hitting eighth and ninth, and I thought, this is a joke, like, this should be illegal, and I kind of feel that Braves team is very similar to that.
Yeah, it's so true. Yeah, that's like, you always wonder what like a pitcher's thoughts are. As he's Josh Towers on the hill going like, this is ridiculous. I got to face these guys eight and nine. All right. So all of that in the wash, it sounds like Atlanta and Houston. Is that what I'm hearing from you?
Yeah, I guess when I looked at the bracket and how it, like, I started breaking down the series. I mean, anything can change, but I started breaking down the series, and it's just kind of how it played out.
Yeah.
Just given the matchups. I mean, right, like, I don't think that the Blue Jays or the Twins can beat Houston, right? And then that puts Houston in the ALCS, right, versus whoever. So, like, this, it's just one of those things. And then they have a ton of experience. And so it wasn't me falling in love with Houston like I did last year. It's just the way it plays out. And, again, I just don't think the Baltimore Orioles.
Yeah.
Okay. They had such a great year, but they're so young. You know how it is.
So young, and really the starting pitching has always been the question for the Orioles. As much as I love that franchise, I also do feel it's a year early. Josh, appreciate it, man. Great to catch up.
Well, you guys be good.
You too. Josh Towers, everybody. I didn't bust his chops. So I always intro him by saying, and the man who gave up Barry Bonds' 747th career Jimmy Jam.
Oh, what a gentleman you are. Circa host Josh Towers. You Circa can host see him at, Josh on the property.
We love Josh Towers.
Reminder, $5 to me for an autograph and picture with Gil Alexander, $10 for Josh Towers.
Wow. Okay. Josh, double me up. We've done all we can do. Best Bets is next. Enjoy from Visa, the Sports Betting Network.